Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Sweet Wednesday's never been sicker, has it?
So Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicine or Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. The 590 The Fan, KFNS, and InsideSTL.com listener rewards auction just went live, Jack. It just went live, Jack. It's on InsideSTL.com. I've tweeted out a link. The link is on the fan pin. Items up from bid include a live broadcast of this program from your home or office. Doug, can you imagine, let's say you work at Stiefel and you're the CFO.
Mm-hmm. And not likely to happen.
What do you mean?
I'm not ever going to be the CFO.
You're cut from executive cloth.
Well, absolutely.
But, and let's say, you know, you're not bullish on the third quarter earnings.
All right.
And you say, you know what? I've got a way to lift my executive spirits. I'm going to bring in an AM radio show to do their show from the boardroom.
I just don't know how that's going to affect the market.
They can do that. You can get, okay. Let's say you're John Mozeliak and Bill DeWitt, and
you're out of ideas on how to fix the club.
Right.
Bring us in and we'll fix it.
Lunch with the TMA cast. Don't say cast at Kirkwood Brewhouse.
Yeah, I would never say cast.
Maybe you own a disposable or a waste disposal company, and you want to bring us in and have us set up a little table by some of the receptacles.
Uh-huh.
Tim, I would love to watch you eat. Doug, I would love to watch you eat my ass.
Who was it, Tim?
Zambo.
Zambo got himself suspended with that. He got himself suspended with that a period of 2 days' time, and I'm writing his name down with my Wright Business Products pen.
It's not a great way for him to start the day, is it?
I wouldn't think it would be, no.
Pat Micheletti is going to join us coming up at 8:30. Former North Star Center, host of Minnesota Wild Fan Line on KFAN 100.3 FM in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and, of course, Joe Micheletti's brother. He's going to be with us at 8:30. Get his perspective on Game 4 tonight at the Scott Trade Center. It's going to be a late one, but hopefully it'll be worth it for St. Louis Blues fans.
Why are you talking like that today?
Set the stage. Mm-hmm. That sets the stage.
It's just a good broadcasting
Thank
voice.
You, sir.
That's what
Thank
it
you,
is.
University of Missouri.
Hold on.
Yeah. Here's the striker.
Oh my God.
You broke
the gong. You broke the gong.
I don't have that technique down there.
Doug has a really nice flick of the wrist. Look at that. Flick of the wrist.
That's all it requires.
Sorry, Doug, but it was called for right there, and you were a little lax on it.
Cam Jansen's going to join us, too. Not only does he host the Hardline, but he is doing pre- and post-game on KMOX tonight. Blues Reports brought to you by Mentality. Check out LowTUSA.com to find a location near you and set up a visit with their board-certified physicians. Cam Jansen with us at 9 o'clock on the Blues and Wild Game 4 this evening. I guess, Plowboy, you're aware of this. I like to handle things on the air. Doug, do you like to handle things on the air?
Well, we might as well. We don't handle them off the air.
Hey, guys. I met up with Plowsy earlier today to present him a new Dexter Fowler jersey.
Really?
Oh, is that what you're wearing right now?
No fool.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Plow Wild.
Oh, hell yeah. Fits perfectly.
Well, watch your language.
Yeah. Kids are in the car.
You were born to wear that jersey,
Somebody just walked up and handed you that jersey?
Well, I'm reading the email. I don't really know what's going on. But I want to read it, and we'll workshop it.
All right.
Hey, guys, I met up with Plowsy earlier today, so that was really early, to present him a new Fowler jersey since the jersey he owned was ruined by a drunk twink and a tragic nacho accident at the game a week or two ago.
Yeah, that's true.
You never got the cheese out of that?
I did, but there's still a light yellow on the back.
A hue. Call it a hue.
A hue, yes.
All right. That's a shame.
It's still visible.
I also gave him the new leather-bound suspension logule I commissioned for Doug, made by hand by my cousin who lives in Rome.
Which is sitting right there out on the table. I'm going to give it to you post-show,
Ooh,
Doug.
An Italian artisan made
it's
a new...
It's beautiful, actually.
It does look... It looks like a Bible from here.
That's what Kat said.
You know what I call it? The good book?
He walked in with that. I thought he was carrying the Bible.
Also, please find the attached screenshots of my conversation with Llewellyn's.
approving it for use as their new log unit. Now, if I'm not mistaken, Llewellyn's is not currently sponsoring the suspension log.
No, I don't believe
so. That's up for bid. You want to talk about items up for bid?
Right.
I think Danny Schwartz has the best dollar for dollar buy right now with that gong. But the suspension log unit is available for sponsorship. But this person, do you know this person?
It's actually
a Washington University email address.
Yeah,
what is the deal? We have that female emailer who went to Michigan and Ann Arbor. We had the Harvard fake person, the catfish, Becky. Sure. Iggy tried to get to know. And now we have somebody at Wash U who spends their time by getting handmade suspension logules in Rome.
And don't forget about the Deck to Power hookup. I've actually met him before.
You have met this person. This is real.
And I've had contact via funny posts on the fan page. That's how kind of you make friends nowadays.
Do you make your friends on the fan page?
Not really, no. I'm
so
not on there.
I was familiar with him, so when I did tell the nacho cheese story, he did message me via FaceBat and touch base saying he can hook me up. He has the inside source on jerseys, and I said, you know, that'd be great.
Inside source.
And,
you need an inside source to get a jersey?
He knows a guy in China.
And so he talked to a guy, and he had a Fowler in red, or he had like a white and a gray. And I said, a red would be great because I got this blue navy hoodie on night
games.
It's
a nice mix.
You paired it up beautifully.
Combo. Yes, with the white shorts. It's really great.
It's a good look for you, except, and I always love the charitable endeavors. But sometimes you think to yourself, forget Sally Struthers and those hungry kids.
Right.
Plowsy needs a jersey.
He needs
stat.
A jersey. Doug, so here's this. Also, please find the attached screenshots of my conversation with Llewellyn's approving it for use.
And Llewellyn's went ahead and gave him permission?
As their new logule, obviously, please feel free to reach out to Llewellyn's to confirm if you'd like. I'd be forever humbled if Timmy or Plowsy would give me, the Franklin County Kingpin, a shout-out on Wednesday's show. I mean, my true love is Doug, but I realize he's quite pressed for time. In all seriousness, thanks for bringing a ton of entertainment and laughter to our lives on a daily basis. It's an honor to be able to support your team's employees and the show's sponsors. Best, the Franklin County Kingpin. So here's the screenshots of this exchange with Llewellyn's.
All right.
Hi, Llewellyn's.
Good way to start it.
I need to get in touch with whomever. Is it with whomever or with whomever?
I wouldn't know. I rarely use whom.
With whom is proper, because that's a prepositional phrase, and that's where whom would be.
All right.
I need to get in touch with whomever. I think it is with whomever.
Yeah, let's get past that and just hear what he's talking about.
Well, let's workshop that. Ask not for whom the bell tolls.
I just don't think that's a big part of the story. I think we could get right into the meat and potatoes of it.
Well,
what if
you're
going to troll somebody on social media and attempt to avoid their point? Ideally, they misspell the word "your," and then you can just absolutely destroy their argument by typing an asterisk and then the correct use of the word "your" with Y-O-U apostrophe R-E, and all of a sudden, it looks like you went to Harvard.
Right.
I need to get in touch with whomever does your marketing / advertising. Just have a quick question about your sponsorship of the morning after on 590 AM. And then in caps, I am not selling anything, end caps. Just need to run a question past you for approval.
Okay.
Doug Llewellyn's responds.
They did respond.
Parentheses, surprisingly. Okay. End parentheses. Hey, you've reached marketing. What's your question? Now, we used to have a guy call in and ask for a score, and we would pass him around.
Right.
I love that.
I don't know if he's with us any longer.
NL Central Desk. Oh, I'm sorry. That's the NL West.
Hey, you've reached marketing. What's your question? You guys sponsor the suspension logule that Doug Vaughn uses, 2 periods. I have been an avid listener and supporter of the show since around 2005. Being that I'm a geek, I asked my cousin in Italy if he'd make me a handcrafted logule to gift to the show.
Ancient artisan.
Of course, he obliged. However, since I know you guys sponsor it, I wanted to make sure you'd be on board. If so, I'd love to remain supplied by Llewellyn's, and I have no interest in my name being involved in it. Here's a picture of it for your review. Now, Iggy, you just said something. I didn't hear it, though, because you were away from the microphone.
I said, my God. Now, he reached out to me and asked me where he could drop this logule off, and I don't just... Yeah, come by the station. Love to see you. I just said, I don't know. I'll have to check on that for you. And I never got back to him.
That's the best way to handle things.
So then he went to Plowsy, and Plowsy got it. If I knew I was going to get something out of it, I'd probably said, yeah, come on by. Yeah,
I think the log doing fantastic. Doug, during a break, check it out. I think you'll enjoy it.
I will.
It's an upgrade.
There's a picture of it, and then the person wrote to Llewellyn, still handsome and leather-bound with a smiley emoji. Do you like the use of the smiley emoji?
I don't think it was really necessary.
Llewellyn's responds, that's beautiful. Let me check with my supervisor who handles our partnership with The Morning After, and I'll get back to you ASAP. Sound good? And then the Franklin County Kingpin responds, perfect, no rush, thanks. Later on in the day...
And you got sent all of this. The whole correspondence.
Nah, that's right. Jealous?
A little.
I'd like to know the inner goings-on of the company. I don't get those screenshots.
Hi, Llewellyn's. Can you guys let me know something on this today? So he didn't hear back from the long
So there's no rush, but there is kind of a rush.
Right. He was trying to be polite the first time, and then when he realized Llewellyn's really didn't care, he said, come on now, I need an answer.
Hi, Llewellyn's responds. My boss approved it today. Would you like to drop it off in Webster and we'll get it the rest of the way? It's your preference. And then the Franklin County Kingpin says, I just actually met up with the producer of the show and gave it to him with a note that it was still pending approval.
All right.
All right.
So it is official.
It is.
It's been approved.
It's been approved by the person that no longer sponsors.
Right. Exactly.
The company that no longer.
I wonder if the independent tire dealers will approve anything. They used to be our sponsor 7 years ago.
Run it by them. No rush.
20 minutes later. Hey, guys.
Can you approve this? Yeah, I noticed you didn't get back to me.
Well, then this current logule I'm using, leather-bound as it is, it's still got about, 10 or 12 pages in it. That'll last me a couple of months. And then I'll get to this new one.
You're asking the texters to step up the vial game get through that.
No. Let me go. I see Mae Young's newborn hand just wrote something.
You heard of texters. Get on it.
No, that's not what we need.
They always come through, our listeners.
They do. Really Thank do. You very much,
and
sir.
Doug wants to finish up the old logule, so... Be as vile as you please.
Doug, if the Blues win tonight, I will ramrod you like
All
a
right,
savage in
one.
Celebration.
Who was it, Tim?
Mae Young's newborn hand.
Mae Young's...
He's in there quite a bit.
Yeah, he is.
Newborn hand has indeed been suspended. Suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name's going in the leather-bound suspension log. You know, that still has a couple months left in it.
I don't think it's a couple months, Doug.
Newborn hand. H-A-N-D.
And now the Franklin County Kingpin has posted in the fan page, it feels good to be the Franklin County Kingpin today, LOL.
And yet he has a Washington University email address?
That's right.
You think he's the provost or the chancellor?
You think it's chancellor?
Probably. Who else would have Cousin Fredo in Italy handmade the leather-bound suspension logule?
It is nice, Doug.
I mean, when you're sitting there in Palermo or wherever the hell he was in Italy, and you get that request, you immediately drop what you're doing and go to work, I would think.
Got one.
Like, the first page and the last page is, like, whitewashed. Like, you could tell it's by hand. It looks really, really nice.
They do nice work in Italy.
Yeah.
The only thing is, if you're hiding out in Italy, they'll get you.
Yeah, they will.
Car bombs.
Apollonia.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got it.
Apollonia, no!
And then also something that just was posted on the fan page, and Iggy, you'll have to address this. Brendan in Enterprise, Nevada has posted, Doug, they're listening in Nevada today.
Well, why?
Iggy said yesterday that he saw the Runaways, a band of which Joan Jett was the lead singer, Lita Ford of Kiss Me Deadly fame, and Cherie Currie, who was later married to the lead actor from Airplane, and his name was...
Robert Hayes.
Thank you.
Robert Hayes, my cousin.
And he said he saw the Runaways at a location in Granite City called Rico's 2.
Right.
Iggy, this gentleman is insinuating that when you saw Joan Jett at Rico's 2 dating... the time that they performed there with his research, because Doug, this gentleman researched when the Runaways performed at Rico's 2 in Granite City.
Okay.
And says that Joan Jett was 16 when she allegedly grabbed Iggy's ass. Iggy, your response.
Well, I responded to that post on there. I said that she was born in 1958, and I said that I think I saw him in 77 or 78. So you do the math, Einstein.
Here you go. She's more like 20, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Now, Matt, who bowls at Hanks, posted, uh-oh, because he was concerned. That's what you do. You screenshot a tweet and quote retweet it and then write, uh-oh, to illustrate concern or just to hope to get retweets and pick up a couple followers that will lead to no monetization of said tweet.
I thought you were supposed to tweet out an emoji of someone eating popcorn like, oh, boy, this is going to be good.
Yeah. That's good. But in this case, then Brendan, Doug, and he's in Enterprise, Nevada.
Okay.
Listening to the program, he writes, busted. But Iggy does respond. She was born in 58, and I saw them either in 78 or 79. You do the math. Then Matt, who bowls at Hanks, has just responded, Doug. Rico's 2 closed in 1974. Rico's 3 opened in 1976, and the Runaways never played there. Brendan says, somebody call Rico. Matt, who bowls at Hanks, said he died in 82. Is that true?
No, you're going to...
People did a lot of research on something so...
And how can you trust what you read on the internet about when Rico's open and closed and who was there and who wasn't? You think they took exhaustive records?
What they're trying to do is, 40 years after the fact, insinuate that Iggy had his ass grabbed by a 16-year-old lesbian.
Yes, and I didn't grab her ass, so... And she was over 16. You couldn't play the band unless you were 19. You couldn't play in that venue unless you were at least 19.
Yeah, but they were
what
the
about Hanson? They were playing and they were young boys.
Were they playing where liquor was sold?
Yeah, but they were the Runaways. All bets were off with those.
Yeah, could That's right. be, yeah.
So was there a Rico's 3? Like Rocky 3? That was Clubber Lang.
I thought it was Rico's 2.
Now, the Bachelor's 3 was in New York. That was Joe Namath's place.
Oh, that's right. Boy, I bet he banged them two at a time there, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh gosh, yeah.
Now, I've done no research on this. I tried to find something on the concert just to post it, and I just did a quick search. Nothing came up, so I wasn't going to go into geek mode and try to, I got to find this to prove them wrong. No, I know it's right, so I don't really care what they think.
Yeah.
How old do you think Joan Jett was when you saw The Runaway?
20?
No.
19, 20?
Did you find her attractive?
Well, I thought they were all cute in their own way.
Who was the hottest, Lita Ford?
Probably Shiri Kiri because she was wearing panties and a garter and a bra.
Okay.
That's what she's singing. She just come out in her underwear.
And how did she compare to, say, the lead singer of the Bangles?
Ooh, Susanna Hoff is still hot.
Yeah,
Susanna Hoff is still beautiful.
She's fine, man. She was in the film The All-Nighter, directed by her mother. 1986? 87.
I don't know. I don't know what year The All-Nighter was made. I just don't. I do remember Joe Namath saying he likes his women blonde and his Johnny Walker red.
God, that's nice.
Boy, he had it all, just like Bo.
Is there anybody who does that now? I mean, you know they do it, but like...
Derek Jeter had a pretty nice run. He just never talked about it.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm
saying. Alex Rodriguez has had a pretty nice run. He's with J-Lo now.
Yeah, but like while they're playing... Rodriguez was married while he was playing for most of his career. I mean, you know, who knows?
Phil Hellmuth?
Yeah, I guess you're right.
Yeah.
Phil Hellmuth. God.
Poker player, Doug.
Yeah, I don't know who he is.
Anybody who is the biggest playboy in sports right now? There's got to be an obvious answer. Who am I missing out on? Ladies and gentlemen, the plow wild.
I think it was Jeter right up until...
Yeah, but I'm talking about like, hey, I F him two at a time and I'm drinking scotch and I don't care.
It's a bad guess, but I think he's on that track would be Ezekiel Elliott because he had that Mardi Gras incident.
It's not a bad play.
I don't think you're talking about that type of play.
Yeah, that's why I hesitated, but
because athletes
like
don't
young.
Really talk about having boobs anymore.
I suppose there's some NBA players that probably do all right for themselves.
Odell Beckham was
ODBJ.
There were chicks all over him at Coachella.
Lena Dunham.
All over him at Coachella this weekend.
I think Tim is like someone who embraces that lifestyle and talks about it. Like, kind of like the Sinatra of the sports.
Chairman of the board, sir.
Yep.
I live the life of a hustler high till I die. You know who said that, Doug?
No.
Tupac. May or may not still be with us.
Okay.
May or may not.
You think he is, Doug?
I doubt it. Whenever they think that someone is really not dead, they're always dead.
Yeah, except there was that beef. What was it, East Coast, West Coast?
Yeah, Pac, Biggie.
Who'd you throw in with?
If I didn't throw in with anybody.
I thought Pac was better. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're right.
Sweet. The authority of...
Of course he's right.
Two white guys above the age of 40 have officially baptized Tupac as the winner of the rap.
Well, he's in the hall. Biggie's not.
Is that right?
Yeah, he just got put in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame 2 weekends ago. And people in an outrage, Gene Simmons especially. Gene Simmons said, you know, until he named some rocker, until such and such is in the Rap Hall of Fame, he doesn't belong in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Probably someone from
Dokken, Scorpions, I don't know.
I don't have any idea what you're talking about right now.
Well, Gene Simmons was upset.
I know who Gene Simmons is.
Yeah, he said you don't put...
He has the tongue of a hummingbird.
A long, long tongue.
Yeah, maybe Brotherhood Creed. All right, you guys have a great rest.
The cat has to leave, Doug. He's going to get you ready for this Cardinals and Pirates Game 3 showdown.
All right, Busman special.
That's right. Beautiful day. Should be a good crowd at the ballpark.
In the 80s today, supposedly.
Beautiful day.
Yeah.
Get on out there and enjoy some Cardinal Busman special.
We have two sweeps in the same day.
Could have it here in St. Louis.
Yeah.
The other one gets underway in 12 hours and 15 minutes at the Scott Trade Center. And joining us right now, Pat Micheletti, former North Star Center and host of Minnesota Wild Fan Line on KFAN 100.3 FM in Minneapolis-St. Paul. And, of course, friend of the show, Joe Micheletti's brother. Pat, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Very good. Thank you so much. What's the feel in Minneapolis-St. Paul this morning going into Game 4? Is there a sense of doom, or is there a sense that if the Wild can just break through, they can bring this thing back there and maybe make a run at becoming the fifth team to overcome a 3-0 deficit in the Stanley Cup playoffs?
Well, I can tell you the fans are certainly doom and gloom. They think this is over and such. But the team is, Bruce Boudreau has been positive the last couple of days. And when you look at it, guys, they haven't played poorly. Obviously they've outshot, they've outchanced the Blues, but just unable to get it past Jake Allen. And Mike Yeo has done a terrific, terrific job at putting a scheme in to really keep Minnesota from getting to the middle of the ice. And, you got to give credit where credit is due. And the Blues have played terrific. And, when you play in tight games like this, every goal given up, every bad goal given up can really hurt you. And I think in game two, Devan Dubnyk had an opportunity to make both those saves on the Goodmanson goal or Edmondson goal, and then on the Schwartz goal. I think he could have had both of those. And when you give up goals like that and you're not scoring, it's going to come back and bite you, and it's bitten a while.
We hear people say things like Jake Allen, he's in their head now. Is that really a thing? Does a goaltender, when he's playing as well as Allen does that really bother the other team or change their game in any way?
I think that's more media speak than anything. I mean, again, Allen's been great, but a few of the things that the Wild haven't done is they're going to the glove side. I think he's a little weaker on the stick side. They haven't gotten in his face at all, meaning blocking his vision or everything he's seen. When he sees a puck, he's going to stop it. Hey, he's a great goaltender. One who struggled, as you guys know, mightily know early in the year. And then when Marty Brodeur took over with him, he's been great, and his confidence is high. But you got to credit the your defenseman for boxing out and allowing him to see the puck, and Jake doesn't give up many rebounds. So I don't know if it's a matter of being in the Wild's players' heads. It's just a matter of him playing great and Minnesota not getting it past them.
Pat Micheletti's our guest on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. You're listening to 590 The Fan KFNS and InsideSTL.com. Tim McCurdy and Doug Vaughn with you here on the program. Pat, Doug and I were discussing in the 7 o'clock hour of our show that it's an odd deal, at least from our standpoint, that the Blues are up 3-0, and perhaps different than a series that just went to its fifth game with the Blue Jackets win last night. The Pittsburgh-Columbus series, where for the most part, Pittsburgh's been in full control of the vast majority of those games, minus game 4 last night, which Columbus won to stave off elimination. This series truly could have gone either way in any of the three games. And so while the Wild are dominated from a series standpoint down 3-0, the actual play has been, Minnesota dominated the first game. And I don't know how that affects a team psychologically, if it's more frustrating when you're sitting there going, my God, we've been right there with these guys, but we're on the verge of getting swept,
Or you go, well, we're right there with these guys. You know, maybe it's possible for us actually to rattle off four in a row.
Yeah, well, I think there's some validity to that. But you know, for Mike Yeo and the Blues, they don't care. I mean, they don't care if they give up 90 shots. Their goal is to win the hockey game. And I'll bring you back, guys, a couple of years when the Wild acquired Devan Dubnyk. They were in the worst slump in the National Hockey League at the time, and there were rumors about Mike Yeo being fired. Well, they get Devan Dubnyk, and they go on this masterful run to get back in the playoffs. But in that stretch, there was, I think they'd won 20 some out of 28 or even better than that. I mean, it was ungodly. But every game was a one-goal game. The Wild never scored more than two or three a game, and they never gave up, you know, more than one or two. Maybe once they gave up four, and that was it. But the point being is that when Mike Yeo gets guys believing in what he wants done, him and Rick Wilson, by the way, in the players buy in, it's a system that is really, really tough to crack. And once they get on a roll like that, and you know the Blues were on such a great roll at the end of the year, the belief that they're just going to go out and win is you can't top that. And when you believe you're going to win, and when you jump over the boards and you've got your teammates' backs, boy, good things happen. And right now, they just don't think they can lose. And like I said, when you have that attitude, it's going to be it's a tough climb for the Wild.
You think the fact that Yeo did coach in Minnesota has been a factor here? Does he know some secrets or how to play guys that some other coach
no
might
doubt.
Not?
Yep. No doubt about it. I mean, he knows what Granlund does. I mean, you look at Granlund, who's been non-existent in this series for the Wild. I mean, they're hitting him every time he has the puck. And Devan Dubnyk, you know, you get under his skin, you know, you see guys yapping at him and trying to get him off his game. So, you know, he knows what every player does. He knows their personality, what makes them go, what doesn't. And I think that has been a huge advantage because, listen, you know, this game is not a complicated game. It's pretty simple. And a lot of these teams, you know, X's and O's wise, they all do pretty much the same thing, you know, maybe tweaks here and there. So you can watch all the film is available, but it's a psychological part. It's a mental part. It's knowing how a guy reacts, what he likes to do, what he doesn't like to do. I think it's so significant, and Mike certainly knows it, and Rick Wilson too, on the back end with the defenseman, how to play a Brodin, a Spurgeon, a Suter, you know, guys like that. So you know, Rick handled those that core D for 5 years. So you know, it's certainly helpful.
Pat Micheletti, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Of the two teams in the Central facing the uphill climb of a big comeback, the Blackhawks and the Wild, which one, if you had to handicap it, Pat, do you think is more likely to be able to pull off the big comeback?
Oh, boy. You can never count out the Hawks, can you?
Yeah.
And that leadership that they have in that room. You know, That team has played a ton of hockey in the last 5 years, 6 years, and you know, their core is still together, and they replace guys every year. That's kind of been their MO because they can't keep everyone because of the cap. They're a little bit younger this year, I think, and I think they're a little bit more banged up. And so, and the way Nashville is playing is the way you have to play the Hawks. You have to attack them. You have to hit Kane. You have to hit Taves. You've got to make them feel it every time that they're on the ice. And I think Nashville is doing that. They don't get a lead and sit back. They get a lead and they attack more. And that's Peter Laviolette's MO for years. And finally, you know, Pecorine has been terrific for him. And that's something that hasn't happened in past playoff years. He's had one good game and then a couple bad games. So, you know, I think that'll be tough. I think, you know, if Minnesota can break through, you know, get a lead. Listen, Minnesota has not had a lead in this series,
yeah.
And so I really think that if they get a lead, it'll be interesting to see how the Blues play. Will they open it up a little bit? Do they have enough offense to get back in a hockey game if they're down? We don't know that because the Blues aren't behind. And so I think it's imperative that Minnesota get the first goal. If they get the first goal and win this game tonight, well, then you have a new series. So to answer your question, a long-winded answer, I think Minnesota probably has a little bit better chance.
Pat Micheletti, our guest here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Blues and Wild, 12 hours from faceoff, game four tonight. Pat, thanks so much for the time this morning.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Pat Micheletti with us, Pat, here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Blues and Wild, game four tonight. Pat joining us on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. The Appliance Discounter is offering tax-free weekend beginning today and running through April 25th. Come into any Missouri Appliance Discounters and save on Missouri sales tax when purchasing any Energy Star appliance. Now is the time to purchase. Also, as always, purchase Bosch built-in appliances at the lowest price. And you'll also save hundreds of dollars on the replacement install. Appliance Discounters will cover the replacement install. The Appliance Discounter phone lines here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. The Cat is out. Cardinals day game today. He will be doing the Fox Sports Midwest pregame. Michael Wacha on the mound against Garrett Cole as the Cardinals go for the three-game sweep for the Pirates. Then off to Milwaukee they go. The Cat will be on the road. When the Cat's on the road, he is presented by Four Seasons Penske Truck. Doug, if you're moving, look for that big gold truck, Four Seasons, right. Penske. And then you're going out of town.
Yeah, it's a good question. I have a wedding to go to now. Niece is getting married, Colorado Springs.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You the best man?
I am not the best man. That would be kind of awkward.
Why is that?
No. And the cousins are close to each other, so we have to go out there. A couple of them are in the wedding.
John Vaughn?
I think they're all in the wedding. All three of them are in the wedding. So, yep, that's what I'll be doing.
Driving?
No, we're not driving.
Oh, sweet action.
We knew this was coming for half a year, so we've got flights at a reasonable rate.
How far is Colorado Springs from Denver? I'm going to guess 2 hours.
It's about an hour and a half straight south.
Well, I don't speed.
You never do?
So, that's why it's 2 hours.
Sometimes it's an easy drive. Sometimes you might as well be driving in the Arctic Circle.
Why is that, brah?
Well, because the weather's kind of rough there.
Perhaps not at this time, heard. Though.
No, although, now it's gorgeous, but in the winter, you never know what you're going to get.
I recall being out there for the Blues and Avalanche playoff series, where Roman Turek also didn't pay attention in the Western Conference Finals, but at least he was only up against Patrick Waugh. And they switched Brent Johnson out for Turek and to start the Game 5. They were eventually eliminated, but when we were flying out there for that game, it was mid-May, Western Conference Finals, and as we were driving in that airport in Denver is like, what, like an hour outside of town. You can see Denver, the city, the skyline from there, but it's like 45 minutes away. And there was a blizzard in May.
Yeah.
And then 20 minutes later, it was sunny.
Right.
I don't know what the hell's going on. Let me tell you something. There's something going on.
Well, I call it a weather pattern. We think the weather changes quickly here and say it's nothing compared to how it changes out there. You can see an entire four seasons worth of weather in about an hour and a half in Denver.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
So do you fly into Colorado Springs?
Yeah, you can, but Southwest doesn't go there. So this time we're flying to Denver and have to rent a car.
Sweet.
Down there. Yeah, that adds another couple hundred dollars to the whole thing. You know, when you're traveling with five, it gets a little pricey.
Sean Vaughn looking forward to the trip?
I think that he is.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Doug, will you dance with the groom?
Thanks. I will not, no.
Eric in the Central West End, and you actually know his father. So is that
I
weird?
Do, so I'm a little ashamed of him for asking the question. No.
Hey, Tim, we are painting along the 17th hole at St. Louis Country Club today. Come say hi, and I'll show you how to stroke a paintbrush. It's from Painter Guy. Man, our audience. Members at St. Louis Country Club.
Well, it's the painter. He didn't say he was a member. He's doing some touch-up work on some of the fencing.
He's on the 17th.
Yeah.
Probably two under.
I don't think he's playing golf. As I understood the email, he's painting.
Yeah, but that might mean like he's got a nice stroke.
I don't think it means that. No.
Iggy and I played golf yesterday with PGA Pro Dan and the wonderful Cletus.
How did you guys do? Where'd you play?
Tapawingo, home of the free Dotem Open on May 12th, presented by Michelob Ultra.
So you're trying to get some course knowledge?
Yeah, but I found out Iggy has a team of whom, Iggy?
I don't know. I know it's me and Cletus. He said something about Jay Delsing. I doubt if that'll
Jay
happen.
Jay Delsing, well, of course, that's not a ring. Time on yeah, PGA
It's not a
tour.
Ring or anything.
And probably Lizzie Utoff.
Who also has played at an incredibly high level and won Big Break, did she not?
She didn't win. I think she finished third.
Okay, well, then I still like our chances.
Jay Delsing is in the group.
That's what Cletus said. He's trying to get Jay Delsing. I'm not for that. I just want to get some schlub and let's come out and have fun. I'm not trying to stack a team. I suck.
Jordan Spieth wasn't available for your club.
You might as well get this ready because Timmy, would you shoot 80?
I shot 80.
Yeah, he bogeyed the last hole. He could have shot 70.
I've never been in the 70s or the 30s in my life.
Really? Well, that's pretty good.
He had a chance on both nines, 40-40.
That's yeah. a tough
By
tough
June, point. He'll be in the mid-70s because he just needs a tweak here and there.
The Lemons Gong is presented by Danny Schwartz Insurance Agency, your Farmers Insurance agent in Columbia, Illinois. Danny is to insurance what Tim is to everything else. Simply the best. I'm sure Tim will be in the low 70s in another month or so.
Could
Call
be.
Or text 618-317-5027 with any insurance questions, and may the Schwartz be with you.
Yeah, Cletus was kind of treating it like a no-hitter. Like he didn't want to talk about it in the cat.
Really?
He didn't want to talk about it. And I actually wasn't even really that aware of it. I bogeyed Doug, was it number 7, which is a par 5 on the Woodlands? Was it the Woodlands we were playing, Iggy? The Woodlands?
The Woodlands, the second 9. First 9, we played Merrimack?
Maybe. Yep, that's right. Because they have 3 9-hole courses,
yeah.
which our listeners will populate. 50 foursomes, Jack. 54 foursomes, actually.
Wow.
On May 12th, which will be a pony for the ages. But, yeah, we played the Woodlands, and with all of the par fives on that back 9, the Woodlands, I was within 100 yards lying 2, and I bogeyed every one of them. So I have nobody to blame but myself. I have nobody to blame.
How about we try to get up and down a little bit?
A little bit. Yeah, I mean, even a par would get the job done, much less bogeys. And, I told Anna Maria, I said, it's not going to be easy to sleep tonight.
Those are the tweaks. Short game, putting.
I can't hit the ball straight off the tee. So Cletus wants me to work with his club pro.
Out of 4 seasons?
Yeah.
How can you not hit the ball straight off the tee and still get an 80?
I adjust.
A lot of scrambling. A lot of golf
no,
shots.
No, I adjust and aim left because it's going to fade back right, but it costs me distance. That's the deal. That's what I'm saying. But I've played with some of these guys. So PGA Pro Dan. Doug, if you would watch PGA Pro Dan swing, you'd pleasure yourself to it. I know that sounds weird, but you would.
It does sound very weird.
Second hole, I decided, forget it. I don't care if anybody stares.
What did he shoot?
He was minus 1 on the front, and I think he wound up being, was he even, Iggy?
I think 1 over or 2 over on the, I think he shot 73.
And his swing is as smooth as the day is long, and I said, how do you do that? He goes, I just swing easy. Well, I'm the Ian Woosnam of the St. Louis Tour, and I got to be honest with you.
By that, you mean short?
Right.
All right.
And yeah, he has a green jacket, and some people say he's the greatest Masters champion of all time.
I don't know who says that except Mrs. Woosnam.
But he doesn't have a whole lot to work with, and I don't either, and so I got to swing like the Dickens just to get it 230 out there. And PGA Pro Dan steps up there, and it's as smooth as a mountain stream, as pure as the beer he calls his own.
Well...
And then it goes like 275.
He's got to be generating some club speed somehow.
I know, but I don't understand it. It's smooth.
Right there at the point of contact, I guess. The point of contact.
You know what it is? The smash factor. What's up, Trackman?
Maybe he's got some special clubs. He's getting a break that way.
Oh, you're accusing him.
I think maybe he's using some clubs that aren't regulation.
Tim, put a towel under your front armpit and keep it locked in place. It will help you.
Okay, enough of the golf tips.
Thanks, Faldo.
Put a towel under your...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
Put a towel under your front armpit.
A lot of people use their...
Okay, keep the left arm in tighter.
Interesting. I wonder if that's it.
A lot of people use their head cover, their driver head cover, and put it under there.
Interesting. Yeah, that's my biggest issue, I feel like. These days, man, these cats... Like, if I'm really going to play in the Masters next year, and I don't know if I will, I'm not saying I will.
You probably qualified with your 80 yesterday.
If you can fire an 80 from the gold tees at Tapawingo,
you're
not automatically in.
Not just anyone can do that.
I think I saw that rule. Top 50, you have a win a tournament in 2017. Amateurs, and if you shoot an 80 at the Tapawingo Woodlands,
right.
You qualify.
There's probably only about 25 guys who did that yesterday.
What?
No, I saw a bunch of hacks.
Okay, 20.
Doug, put a finger in your butt. It'll help your backswing. Thanks. Was, no coat turkey.
Who was that? No coat
see how
turkey
that's relevant.
Neck.
If anything, I would think that's going to be tough.
That wasn't relevant. And so he got suspended. He got suspended a period of 2 days' time.
Doug, put a towel in your mouth. It will help. That's from Honey Bear Sappington.
Turkey neck. Honey Bear was my first dog.
Hey, Tim, can I caddy for you? I'll wash your balls. That's from the Barnhart Brawler.
Danny Schwartz will handle just about any insurance need you might have.
We thought the Barnhart Brawler and a few other lemmings were out there yesterday.
I did get a lot of bounces. That's
there,
the thing.
There were some bounces that were, you couldn't see it. No, whoop, there it is. It's in the fairway. Whoop, there it is. It's on the green.
Yeah, Iggy thought Buck Swope might be hiding in the shrubs.
The lemmings are even on the golf course to kick Tim's balls back into the fairway. Or that perhaps the course itself is a lemming. Schwartz can handle auto, home, commercial, life, boats, ATVs, campers, motorcycles, you name it.
All I know is as bad as I played, it was a fun day. Weather was great.
It was a beautiful
three
day.
Three guys I played with her fun. It was a fun day.
Cletus, a good player, man.
He is.
And PGA Pro Dan's a good player. And Iggy, you downplay your game, but...
No, I'm just all over the place.
What'd you say you shot, Iggy?
I don't know.
I would guess, like, if I had to guess, like, right around 87, 88?
I don't know. I think you
shot a 40. Yeah, you pick up.
I don't pick up,
but then I've been told that actually you're supposed to just... For handicap purposes, not give yourself, like if you have a blow-up hole, like a John Daly where he just throws the ball in the water and starts weeping, then you can't give yourself like a 10 because then that benefits your handicap. That's what I'm learning all these things since I just picked the game back up last
July.
Yeah, and
you post your scores for your handicap, right?
I mean, not publicly, but on my app,
yeah.
Just so I
see,
can
I
keep
don't.
Track of it. So I'm a 13.4 right now. Doug, I'm a 13.4.
Yeah, that's not
so
bad.
If I hit a ball... In the trees, I hit a provisional, and then I hit one left in the sand trap, and I'm laying six. Pick up. Why am I? Who cares?
But for the purpose of a handicap, you're not supposed to give yourself. I'm not saying you do anything wrong. I'm talking about golfers who monitor. They can't give themselves like a 12 because then that'll inflate their handicap.
So yeah, what do you give yourself?
So I don't know what the rule is. And that's the thing. I was asking Cletus and Dan, like any time there was something that was questionable, I wanted to play it by the book.
That's when the sandbagging comes in. Guys would...
That's what I'm saying.
But that's part of who you are. If you have
a hole
where you get a 12, that's the player that you are. What do you give yourself when you pick up?
I don't know, 8.
There are some holes I would love to walk away with a snowman.
Yeah, like a triple bang on a par 5 where I probably would have gotten an 11.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's just speed of play.
Well, if that's an issue, that's one thing. But if you're talking
and we were
about
playing teams, and if my partner's in the fairway or on the green in two, my score doesn't matter.
Yeah, I shot the round of my life, and I still lost money.
That's one of the things that separates the really great players from the average guy is how you deal with it when you get in real
and
trouble.
That's, like,
you never have
Cletus,
one of those
Cletus's
holes.
Big thing is you always take double bogey out of play. So he's course manager guy.
Yeah, there was Timmy on the par 5.
Doug, do you remember this? It was number 9, I think he was talking
there.
About.
It was all carry. He had, I think, 2-10 to the hole. And Cletus is saying, wedge out there, you'll have another wedge. And nope, Timmy took out the 7-wood.
Yep, the official of the club of the Champions Tour.
Back
sir.
Of the green. And the P that I am, I probably could have got there and I laid up.
And what'd you get on the hole?
I parred it, but
all right.
Timmy could have had a chance for an eagle or a birdie.
Yeah, I'm like Sergio.
Or he could have hit it in the water.
But he didn't. He took a chance.
Uh-huh.
What are you going to do? Sit in a cubicle the rest of your life and play with your prick? George Carlin.
That's my favorite drop of the week so far.
As a 13.4, the highest you can take is a 7. So I couldn't take a triple bogey on a par 5? That doesn't seem right.
You think of all the snooty rules in golf, there's one now where you don't have to take anything higher than a 7? Where you don't even have to finish the hole? You're going to worry about picking up a loose impediment or whether your club accidentally touched the sand or something. That's a penalty, but you don't have to finish the hole. You never have to take anything more than 7. That doesn't make sense.
I have to tell you, this person texting in is not a regular texter, so I tend to give him credibility.
Well, it may be true, but if it is, it's a stupid rule. You should
and
have
his
to play
text
every
history
hole.
Is something about Republican politicians, so...
So he knows what he's talking
exactly.
about.
Exactly. So there's more credibility in the golf world.
Right.
I mean, you show me a liberal golfer,
I'll show you.
That's probably why I didn't get under 70 or under 80 yesterday.
Sure that it
They're
is.
They're like, we can't have this liberal shoot in 79.
No, it's not right.
I pay no attention to handicaps. I don't know.
but for the purpose of wagering.
Well, I never use it anyway. I mean, like yesterday, you knew when you and I were the teams for six holes, you're probably going to get beat.
Right.
But we didn't use handicap. Okay, Tim and I are getting strokes here. No, we just play and have fun and
have sex.
But the, but there's been a, I've had a lot of rounds where if I didn't have one blow up hole, I'd have scored pretty well.
Right.
But if I'd have known now, the rule is the most you take is a seven. Yeah, I would have never had, I would have.
So Jordan Spieth theoretically should have won the 2016 Masters because once he went in twice, you go, oh, that's it, double bogey, off to 13 we go.
Yeah. Right.
I don't understand it. I don't understand it.
I don't either.
Doug, Kevin Na took a 16 back in 2011. It was a tournament in Texas.
I think he one putted that too.
He did.
He was in the woods and just kept hitting stick after stick after stick. Then he got on the green and one putter for 16.
Well, I'm sure in tournaments there's no picking up.
Well, no.
Claiming that you're just going to take a seven.
Yes.
But for the rest of the world, it doesn't
I didn't
like
know this, but somebody had told me this. One of my guys told me, because, yeah, for the handicap purposes, is the most I can take.
It makes sense, but you can't get more than an 18 handicap anyway. I mean, you can, but if you're playing, it doesn't matter. You're getting 18 strokes. It's the most you can get.
Well, what if you regularly shoot 120?
Shot my dad out of nowhere.
Well, then you're probably not playing anybody for money, because the most you can get is 18. What are you getting, two strokes a hole?
Guys, max seven is a sixth grade CYC rule. Thanks. That's from the 636.
Seems like it.
There's CYC golf teams? What, like an Immaculata?
Well, I don't believe so. No, there's not enough guys.
I guarantee there wasn't St. Gabriel's. Know that. Doug, this 8 o'clock hour brought to you by MediCenter Pharmacy. It's brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. That's 314-432-5020. The live auction, the 590, the Fan KFNS, InsideSTL.com live auction just went live about an hour ago, as a matter of fact. And you can get incredible prizes. Bid on them right now at InsideSTL.com. The link has been tweeted out. The link is on InsideSTL.com, and the link is on the fan page. And that includes items up for bid, like $5,000 gift certificate to a Meanies. That's a nice prize.
Yeah, that's like a museum.
I don't know if somehow that bid's only sitting around $4,000 on Friday at around $4.55. I might go in there and say, how's $4,001 sound?
Yeah, you might as well say that.
Or you can have the thing that I think a lot of people want, which is us to broadcast from their home.
I don't think that's going to go over.
Have lunch
well.
With us at Kirkwood Brew House. Watch me eat Wingy Wingy and Sammy.
If we come into your house, we're going to have to drag wires.
Yeah, but it'll be like, oh, man, how cool is it? It'd be like having Michael Jordan at your house.
I don't think it would be.
Cam Jansen's going to join us on the other side of the break. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After.